Welcome to Elements of Styles, the business podcast that trades in scarce thinking for community, conversation, and ideas in abundance. Each week, I, Mark Styles, sit with professionals and entrepreneurs, both local and global, and learn how they each add value to their communities, their partners, and their teams. Please enjoy. Hey, folks, we're going to mix it up a little bit today. Recently, I was asked by the Boston Chapter of Entrepreneurs Organization to host their podcast. That podcast is called Leadership in Action. Check it out. Here is an episode that I recently hosted. Hey, folks, welcome back to Leadership in Action, your Boston Chapter of EOS podcast. I am Mark Styles, your host. Today's guest, a client-focused marketing strategist with a deep-rooted passion for helping businesses succeed. While she focuses on being a solutions provider and forward thinker, she incorporates all aspects of the business to create a cohesive marketing strategy. She joined EO Boston in the Accelerator program in July of 2022, where she immediately joined the leadership board as a strategic alliance partner chair. She joined EO here in Boston in 2023, and she's agreed to join our leadership board next year as our MarCom chair. Please welcome founder and marketing strategist at New England Paradigm, Avery Williams. Welcome to the show, Avery.
Yes, thank you for having me. I'm excited and nervous.
Thank you, you don't need to be nervous. That is for certain. And thank you for agreeing to join our board right out of the gate. That's so awesome.
Absolutely. I'm excited for it.
So let's get right into it.
Sure.
What is the most positive lesson that you've learned while running a business?
Thought about this a lot. I think that the most positive thing is leaning into the lifestyle of that not everything happens for you, not to you. And I've correlated that a lot into having a little bit of grace with the process, and that all harvests are different. Some take years, some take months. Having faith that it's growing underneath the surface before you see anything, not picking it too early and letting it fully mature. And I think that there's a lot of positive impact in surrendering in that sense to, I love that. I agree. So surrender is definitely a word, a mantra for me that I follow in all aspects and avenues. I think it's definitely helped me sleep a little bit better at night. But I think it's led to all of my positive relationships, both with clients, with my tribe and who I surround myself by, and our recent hires at NEP for sure.
I love that. I love that so much. And for those of you who are wondering, why did she laugh and say, I love that in the middle of what she was saying, and for 98% of you who are not watching this on video and listening to it, I'm wearing a shirt that says surrender. It's from Bono's book. I went to the one person presentation of his book in the Beacon Theater in New York, and I have this t-shirt. And let me tell you, I've been saying this a lot lately. There are no such thing as signs. I don't remember talking about surrender with you in our pre-call. And I happened to put on this shirt today for the first time in a very long time. And you mentioned the word that is prominently listed on the top of the shirt, surrender. So help me understand more what you mean by that, the peace and the grace. Are you a faith-based individual?
Yeah, I would say I'm spiritual, right? Okay. So I think that that truly developed in 2019. I went to Bali for a little over a month and found a lot of peace in a lot of things. And I think that when you first start entrepreneurship, from my perspective, it is terrifying. It's lonely. You don't really have confidence that you can handle anything that comes your way. You feel every night that the next day could break what you built. Everything seems so fragile. And I'm learning that that's also seasonal. You know, there I say owning a business is like marriage in a lot of ways. My marriage is, you know, there's certain seasons where you're like, oh my God, we should get a Grammy. We are killing it. And then there's other seasons where you're like, I think we need a therapist, you know, and it's navigating the vulnerabilities of life. And it's also having faith and confidence in yourself that it's teaching you something. So I always like to say to the team, we do wins and lessons, because it's not losses unless you don't learn from it. So I think that there's a lot of lessons that the universe in a lot of ways has taught me over the last 5 years. I think there's been humbling moments and continues to be humbling moments, but then also celebrations. And I think sometimes in disappointments where things didn't work out, when I really like zoom out, that taught me so much along the way to really create a solid foundation on that side. So I would say spiritual in a sense. One of my favorite books is The Universe Has Your Back. And it really does support that in terms of falling in love with your imperfections and falling in love with the path and the journey and holding gratitude to everything that comes your way, because it's there for a reason.
What made you go to Bali?
Two crazy friends. They asked if I wanted to go on a yoga retreat.
Okay.
I was on the plane reading the itinerary. And it was like a 21-hour flight. There was no Wi-Fi. I was in a complete panic because I thought I was going to get 20 hours worth of work done. And I'm reading as I'm going through, and I'm like, oh my God, we're not staying at a resort. Like, we're staying in a village right in the center of the jungle. And it was an amazing experience. It stretched all my edges. We showed up at 3 a.m. It's chaos in those streets on that side. And it was pitch black when we got there. Just the whole environment was alive in terms of animals. And there's a lot of stray dogs there. And we just decided to make it to the morning and wrapped ourselves in some mosquito netting and called it a day. And it was one of the most beautiful, grounding experiences of my life. I still work and practice to not lose that groundedness that I received when I was there. So that's, it had a huge impact on my life. Sure.
So at what point on the flight over, when you realized, okay, I'm not going to get any work done. Okay, I'm going to be one with Mother Earth. At what point were you like, okay, I'm checking out and I'm taking it all in and I'm going to own this experience?
Day two.
Yeah.
I would say that when I gave up on WhatsApp, and it was that surrendering process is happening already. Like, there were no choices when we got there. All the rooms were taken because we were the last ones. So there was like that last choice. And it was that way the entire time. There was no, for a person who schedules and controls, it was just a perfect head-to-head. In a way, I guess it forced all of my edges to change my entire perspective. And I think that owning the business previously to 2019 and post 2019, it was completely different. We ended up right back at the beginning again in 2020 and reevaluating everything. And I think with the learnings of life in that, and relationships there are impossible to describe. You just become best friends with people from all over the world in one interaction of meeting. So it created an impactful moment too of how important relationships are. And I always say you are the average of those you surround yourself by. And there are just so many gifts that started flooding in when I changed that ultimate mindset of it.
When you opened the door.
Yes, it just flooded in.
What was it about the relationships there? What was it? Was it energy? Was it universal? Was it spiritual? What was it that was different when your feet were there having that experience?
Yeah, I'm definitely a science person. I'm definitely one of those people that are impacted by energy for sure. And I think it's one of those things. People can call it gut instinct, people can call it energy, that I know who they are, and that feeling in that first 5 minutes, are they for me or not? And I leaned into a lot of like what mentors had taught me, right? Like people are like elevators, they lift you up or bring you down. And who are you to other people? And who do you have in your circle? And I think the biggest thing for me that I took away from that was, who am I to other people? And I became very conscious of that in that space of, you're in this experience and it's a gift. Who are you to the people that invest in you? And I think that was something that I took back in terms of building a business, clients, how I am as a leader. And I think I put a lot of pressure on myself in all the relationships in my life for sure. But that energy transfer of giving more than you receive is something I'm extremely aware of.
So that's it. That was kind of my ask. Was there something different about you? Was there a different energy that you were producing while you were there? And is it a mirroring effect?
I think there's purity in vulnerability and authenticity. I think if you can laugh at yourself versus feeling like you have to be perfect in all moments, I think if you continuously focus on learning and improving and reflecting, then that's definitely something that comes full circle all the time. So I think that all of that really came alive. And it's a lifestyle now.
Would you call it a practice, a habit, a lifestyle? I love this. So did you immediately feel a different impact on the way you ran a business, or was there little nuances pulling you back to the status quo to the, well, I think this is how we're supposed to do it because we've always done it this way? Did you immediately think it's never going to be the same again?
Yes.
Cool.
I definitely, I still have those moments where you're crying at the keyboard, right? but I think that everything became intentional. And so our tagline changed to marketing with intention. Because I wanted to operate intentionally in all of my relationships as a leader, and also for our clients too. So it was like this common thread that became part of my DNA, which then I think became part of the organization's DNA on that side. And it's created a culture for sure. And I think a standard.
Well, this is a cool segue into us getting to know you a little bit better. What does your company do, and who are those clients that you're impacting?
Yeah. So NEP is a marketing and design firm. We take more of a anti-agency approach, I like to say. We focus on access and empowerment. So creating, allowing access for small and medium-sized businesses to have a full marketing and design team at a fraction of the cost, to allow them to compete and grow in competitive markets. So I think like that was a big piece for me, was the access and empowerment side. And then Ideal clients, we work with solopreneurs to $500 million in annual revenue. We are company's marketing team, and then we're also an extension of marketing teams. We can be that support role. We can come in for rebrands and projects, but the majority of our clients are long-term relations, which is a great thing. We definitely wanted to not have these short projects or a massive amount of leads. It was off of 5 years. We still only operated off of referrals. Our clients are long-term clients. And I think that that's something that I keep really special. Our ideal clients have the same values as us in terms of they're driven and accountable, reflective. And a lot of the times they have a solid culture with sales focus, because I think that's really our differentiator is we don't just come up with a marketing campaign. We work with the sales team to really support and drive that side. And we customize every single plan for our clients. So there's no cookie cutter approach on that. And it's a living document, right? Your marketing plan, just like your business plan, changes all the time. So you try not to change it more than once a quarter, right? But it's a living document and it's breathing and unique to the individual or the business in that sense.
So you talk about the anti-agency. At first I thought you said the anti-aging, and I was like, ooh, I could be down with signing up for that marketing company.
Me but too. I'm trying.
But the anti-agency, what's different between, I mean, what is an agency? What does that look like that's different than what you're doing?
Yeah, I think, you know, coming up as a marketing director and having a lot of agencies that I've worked with, it was always a scope of work, right? You know, you have to operate in the scope of work, and the business changed and it was, so sorry, we can't help you with that, or an adder, or yes, but the contract says we need, you know, a month turnaround on a project and we needed it in a couple days. So I think it was adding that like adaptability into a marketing plan, as well as providing a low cost versus a high cost. A lot of the time agencies are high cost and assumed as low value to the client because of that lack of adaptability. And so I think I was really wanted to focus on the high value on that side, a more affordable, cost efficient, where we could hop into a project, or our clients could call us or hop in the text stream. Really not the separation, that fractional piece, more of we are your team and you can call on us just like you would a marketing director or creative director or your social media specialist. So it was creating that, are we a part of your team versus a transactional contract that renewed every X number of months on that side.
I totally get that fully, because you could definitely feel the transactional, watch out for the scope creep. Don't be creeping on the scope versus the partner, right? Like you're a partner for success. You're a Sherpa. You're with us. You're walking the journey with us. That's awesome. That's awesome. So let me ask you this. What made you decide to get involved with EO Accelerator, the whole concept of this group?
Yeah, so I had no idea that a group like EO existed until my going on the fourth year of NEP being involved. And I think the biggest thing is entrepreneurship is a lonely game. And I have an unbelievable supportive husband and family. And even with that, there's so many things that they don't not understand, but more of we just operate so differently in a day to day. I think that probably my husband would say I overprocess. So I think he's enjoyed me having more sounding boards on that side, as well as people also saying, like, I understand that, I resonate with that, versus you not really having a baseline on that. So I had no idea what EO was or who EO was, right? The soul or the heartbeat of it. And I went to a learning day and it was like drinking from a fire hose, exactly like they say. I was like, oh my gosh, I have 400 things I need to do. And while it was overwhelming, it was for the first time, I didn't feel alone. And I also, funny story, but one of my mentors always said, always be the dumbest person in the room. And I laughed at that when I was 22, but in a way I didn't question it. I just got it, like, okay. And EO, I think I did that right, because I feel constantly like the dumbest person in the room. And I put up quotes because, you know, I think there's so much to learn, and comparison is the elimination of joy, right? And it's not comparing, it's you're in this room full of resources and experience shares. And it's a support system, a tribe that I didn't have. And at that point, it was just me. I didn't have a team. I didn't have a business partner. So it was a lot of self-pressure too. And then I started in EO Accelerator and just at that entry level point, and I definitely snuck my way in, right? And in 18 months graduated to EO. So it was massive growth year over year. And I know for a fact I wouldn't have been able to do that without EO.
That is so great. That is so great. EO has been a wonderful addition to my world. And I echo what you're saying. The shared experiences, that sounding board, that non-judgmental, non-gestalt, we could share experiences. We can't give you opinion. Mm-hmm. And to be vulnerable in that vault, to be able to say, this is what I'm thinking. And is it normal? Oh no, I've been thinking that for a long time. I'm with you. So Avery, we've gotten to know you a little bit about your business and the origin and the growth. You seem very busy. You seem like you got a lot going on. What do you do in your free time?
Hobbies are funny, right? You know, I did this exercise at an industry organization event, and they wrote down like the number of hours you work and the number of hours that you work on your hobbies and the number of hours. And I laugh because I feel like this is a hobby. There's probably 2 to 3 hours, you know, a day that I'm working, that I feel like I'm working. But I would say my hobby is continuous learning in terms of reading. I definitely have fun traveling. I think I love to travel. I think that I'm very grounded in culture. And I think that I have a lot of clarity when I travel, especially by water. And so I think that's always just been a really fun hobby of mine, to be able to get up and go, whether that be on a planned trip or this weekend, let's go here. And the learning side of it, I think I find a lot of solitude in that, of being able to stretch my edges and decrease some blind spots and grow. And there's just so much to learn all the time. And so for me, I would say, whether it's listening to a podcast or reading a book, that's a big hobby. I also love wine. That would probably be a hobby. I love going to Sonoma or Napa every year. And I like, I mean, I guess it makes sense in the marketing sense, but I love stories behind wine. So bringing a bottle to someone's house and explaining the story behind that piece. That's always been something fun. And I guess another hobby would be trying new restaurants. That was definitely something that was always special for me and my family. And I think that was a way to share a love language.
did you go to the learning day with love language when Dr. Gary Chapman was there?
Yes, I did. I'm acts of service.
Acts of service. Cool.
Which definitely makes sense for sure. Yeah. I had actually taken that test a long time ago. Actually had my team take that test.
Cool.
The
work version or the actual love language one? Because there's like a work version of it as well.
Yeah. I did the actual one because I wanted to also support. We do a lot of, personal goals at the company goals to support the company, but then also on their goal sheets are their personal goals, which I think is really important to support them in both areas of their life. And so this was definitely something that I think added value to their overall environment on that. But yes, I enjoyed that one a lot.
It's amazing the self-awareness component to those things, like the personality assessments and the love language, to simply see the aha in someone's eyes, like, oh, this is why I do that. Do you find yourself consuming and learning information more by reading or podcasts or equally?
Reading. I love a book. I used to go to used bookstores when I was right out of college. My sister got me into that. But something about, well, I'm a list person. So I think something about highlighting and writing notes and turning a page and reading a book six times as you're watching it, kind of the pages fall out. That's always been... Books and vinyls have always been two collections of mine.
Awesome. I got a vinyl player for Father's Day this year and have been collecting some vinyls. And there's something really special about, it's so nice and convenient. Spotify playlist. I've got an AI DJ. He knows exactly what I want to hear. However, having to get up and turn the record player over, it stops, it pauses, okay, here I am. I'm actually in a room listening to music. It's not simply happening to me, right? As you opened up, I love that things happen for us, not to us. It's very, very present, very stoic, very appropriate. I don't know if you saw Bob Marley's movie yet, One Love.
I haven't. So we were supposed to go this past weekend and... I got us tickets and then I remembered it was the All-Star weekend and I'm like, what am I doing? That would be the worst life ever. Yeah. So we canceled. We're going to go. But I'm excited. I'm excited to see that movie for sure.
You're going to love it. I can tell. It's a story. It's such a beautiful story and it's perfectly timed right now with what's going on in the world for everyone to simply look at what's important. It's I and I, not me and you. It's faith. It's redemption. It's forgiveness. It's amazing music. You're going to love it.
I love that. Yeah, I love that concept of I am because you are. Right.
Yeah.
And I think that also flows a lot into that whole concept of interaction and relationships, purpose. I was watching this documentary last week. And it talked about the intersectionality of purpose and impact and what sweet spot that is for a human being to live in. Not only are they living in their purpose, but they're making an impact and how they can do that in small ways or big ways. So I thought that was a really cool concept to taken.
Well, that's it. I mean, whether it's Buddha, whether it's Catholicism, whether it's Rastafari, it's that message that resonating, that
yep.
live as one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Be well. I think I've taken up a lot of your time. What I would love to do is let everybody know, hey, folks, Avery Williams, new to EO Boston. You've heard her. Now, if you see her, go say hi to her. She's an amazing person with impact. I can't wait to share the board with you. I'm the governance chair this yes. year and for next year. So we'll be seeing you quite a bit. However, I would love to allow you the opportunity to say, hey, reach out to me. How would they best do that?
Yes. Well, hopefully I'm at the majority of EO events. I am holding myself to being at every single learning day.
Cool.
I think that is something that EOA being mandatory should never stop on that side. And then of course, email, find me at an event, find me on LinkedIn. I would absolutely love to connect with as many people. There's so much to learn from everyone. I'm just unbelievably grateful to be in this circle. So,
and for those folks that are listening to this and they're looking at the show notes, what would be that best email or that best handle on social or website that they could click through that Becca from Ringmaster will put in the show notes for us?
Yes. So everyone, I keep everyone on edge. I'm a total Gemini middle child with my 17 different names. But the email is dswanson@anyparadigm.com. D Williams also works. But I definitely have my maiden name on one side, right? I'm slowly transitioning.
I love it. Well, thank you for sharing so vulnerably with us on today's episode of Leadership in Action. We really appreciate you coming on. We welcome you to the board. We welcome you to membership here in Boston. And we're looking forward to an amazing future.
Yes, I'm so excited. Thank you so much for having me and your time. I really appreciate it.
And folks, thanks for listening. We enjoy hearing from you. If this moved you in any way or you thought of somebody, share it with them. Share it with anybody. Why not? Thanks and have a great time. We'll see you soon.
Hey, thanks for joining us today. If you enjoyed the show, be sure to subscribe on your platform of choice for a new episode each week and share this with everyone and anyone. If you have any questions or comments or have an idea for another guest, feel free to shoot me an email at mstiles@stiles-law.com. That's mstiles@stiles-law.com. And if you are a real estate professional, be sure to check us out on our private exclusive Facebook page, The Real Estate School at 892, for content and Massachusetts continuing education opportunities. Be well, folks.
This episode is brought to you in part by Secura Title. Secura Title is a fractional paralegal service assisting with all things real estate in Massachusetts and New Hampshire. SecuraTitle.com, where security and title come together. SecuriTitle.com. Secura Title.
This podcast is being provided for informational purposes only. The podcast is not a comprehensive overview of the subject and is not intended to provide legal or financial advice or an endorsement of any product or business. The views expressed by podcast guests are their own, and their appearance on the podcast does not imply any endorsement of them or any entity they represent. Please seek legal, financial, or tax advice before taking any action on the matters or products discussed herein.